O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Let's draw near to the Lord in prayer together. Let's pray. Almighty God and our loving Heavenly Father, we come again unto thee in prayer. At the commencement of our service this evening, O Lord, we humble ourselves before thee, the great and mighty God, worthy of all praise. O Lord, as we come to sing thy praise, we pray that thou receive our worship and that thou bless us even as we take to our lips the praise, may it come indeed from our hearts. O Lord, as we read thy word together, we pray that it may speak to us and be a help and challenge to us in our walk. O Lord, as we call upon thee in prayer, do hear from on high and send a mighty blessing upon each one of us as individuals and for all those who are on our hearts and for whom we intercede. And O Lord, as we come to hear thy word, we pray that it may be to us that food that we need for our souls, that it may prepare us for all that lies before us in the days to come. We pray that we may be those who strive to be thy true servants, who desire to love thee and to honour thee in our walk, in our deportment, in our witness to those around us. O Lord, bless each one as we come before thee. We wait upon thee now, asking all in the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our first hymn is based upon Psalm 65. It's the hymn, Praise Lord for Thee, in Zion Waits. Our scripture reading is the Psalm 96. Psalm 96. O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. May the Lord be pleased to add his blessing to that reading of his holy word. Our second hymn is the hymn, O the Deep, Deep Love of Jesus. Now let's turn to the Lord together in prayer. Let us all pray. Almighty God and our loving Heavenly Father, we come again unto Thee in prayer. O Lord, we call upon Thee, the great, the true, the living God. O Lord, we thank Thee that Thou art the God who hears and answers prayer. And O Lord, we seek to come in the merit and pleading the name and the shed blood of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We recognise that there is no other way by which we can come and hope to be heard. For without our Saviour, without his death upon the cross at Calvary, without that access that he has opened up for us, we in our sin could never be received, could never be heard. But we thank thee that he has come. We thank thee for his willingness to come and shed his blood, to show that love of which we have just sung, that love that is so vast, so wonderful, past finding out, and yet a love directed towards us. O Lord, we thank thee for our personal experience of that love and the salvation that Christ has secured. And we come to praise and worship thee for that experience. O Lord, we come to lift up thy holy name. We come to praise thee. And our words are scarcely adequate for all that thou art worthy of. O Lord, therefore we thank thee for the gracious help of the Holy Spirit. We thank thee that he takes our words, he takes those prayers that we utter secretly, and he translates them into the very language of heaven, so that they are acceptable unto thee. O Lord, therefore hear from on high this evening, and send down thy blessing upon us. O Lord, again we commit to thee this service of worship and the hearing of thy word. Bless all who are present. Bless all who follow online. Bless all who watch the service later. O Lord, we pray that all may benefit and be blessed. O Lord, we pray that thou teach us and instruct us from thy word. And we thank thee for the possession of thy word and for all that it means to us. We thank thee that day by day, as we read it, and as we meditate upon the truth that we see there, O Lord, our eyes are opened to wonderful things. O Lord, we pray that in our service tonight, and even throughout the days of this week to come, thy word and its study may be very precious to us, and may be a blessing. O Lord, we pray that our character, even tonight, may be shaped. We come as those who have many needs. O Lord, some of us come into this building, some of us are attending this service with very heavy burdens to bear. And yet, O Lord, how we thank thee that thy word speaks to every situation. And Lord, we pray that there may be that encouragement, that help for us again, even tonight. O Lord, if we have strayed from the pathway, if there are those aspects of our life and conduct which are unworthy of our calling, then we pray that through thy word thou wilt put thy finger upon those things, and that thou wilt help us to respond to the conviction that thou dost put upon us. O Lord, do bless, we pray, any who gather with us who are strangers to thy grace. O Lord, we pray that as we look into thy word together tonight, that as they see the seriousness with which we come to thy word, and as we begin to see its depths, the profound teaching that is found there, O Lord, may they acknowledge that it is the truth concerning mankind, the world, the Lord our God, and the gracious salvation that he has wrought. O Lord, we pray that this may be for some a day of turning unto thee, a day of salvation. Our gracious God, we lift before thee each and every one of us. O Lord, we thank thee that we may pray for one another. And at this time, we would again lift up before thee those who are sick, those laid aside, those in hospital. O Lord, be very near to them and bless them, we pray. O Lord, as they call upon thee in prayer, as they lift their voices unto thee in praise, even inwardly, as they read thy word. O Lord, draw near to them and bless. Raise up the sick, we pray. Grant special wisdom to those who have the care of them. And O Lord, in the midst of pain, in the midst of limitation and frailty, we pray that as thy people, we may have that witness to those around us, that there may be something in our conduct that points the way to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may it be, though painful for us, even yet a time of service and of testimony. But bless each one of us. And, O Lord, in the days of this week to come, we pray that all who are thy children may have some special opportunity to speak to a lost and needy soul. Grant to us then, each one, a sensitivity and a concern for the lost. O Lord, as they pass us, as we mingle among so many who have little or no interest in spiritual things, may our hearts be moved, as the Saviour's was, as he saw the crowds and had compassion on them and did so much to bless them. O Lord, we pray that we may follow the example of our Saviour and seek to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to as many as we can. We pray for the life and work of this church. Again, we lift up all who stand in this pulpit to proclaim thy truth. We thank thee that over the years, this has been a place of gospel testimony and the bold declaration of the truth of thy word. Lord, we pray that that may be preserved, that for years to come yet, until the return of the Saviour, the testimony from this place may go forth as a trumpet call to all around. And we pray for this local community. We think of the many houses that surround this church, perhaps unaware of what goes on inside. O Lord, we pray for the signs on the outside, the invitation to come in. O Lord, we pray for every effort that is made to take the gospel to this community. We pray that thou do a wonderful soul-saving work, that many may be rescued, many may be plucked as brands from the burning, from this wicked and evil society, and escape that judgment to come. O Lord, grant great boldness, therefore, and tenderness to thy people, and help us, we pray, as we seek to reach the lost with the unsearchable riches of Christ. What we pray for this church, O Lord, we pray for churches and chapels up and down this land, and we thank thee for the fellowship that we can have with so many others who seek, as we do, to stand upon the truth of thy word alone, and to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, as they meet, perhaps even at the same time as we do, O Lord, be present in their midst and do a great work for them too. O Lord, we long for better days. We long for a time when many are called out of this world and into thy kingdom. We long for a day when the name of our God and the name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit is known by all. Therefore we come and we ask that thou, by the working of thy mighty power, change hearts, prepare the way before thy people. O Lord, bless, we pray. And if there are those things which as thy people we are doing, which limit the amount of blessing, O Lord, we pray that we may see these things and that we may have that concern to put them right in our personal life and walk, and in the life and walk of our fellowships. We pray too for our society at large. And we, at this time, we pray for those in leadership, O Lord, with difficult decisions to be taken, so much to consider. O Lord, we lift them before thee. We are persuaded that among them there are those who have a knowledge of thee and of thy word. O Lord, we pray that there may be among them those who have a personal testimony of thy grace in their lives. O Lord, that their thinking may be shaped by the principles of thy word. O Lord, in all the decisions that they take, we pray that there may yet be liberty for the preaching of the gospel. O Lord, that this may continue to be a day when we are able to proclaim fearlessly the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray that this pandemic, as it continues to play itself out, this hand of God and in human society, oh Lord, that it may accomplish a very great deal in the advancement of thy kingdom. Oh Lord, we pray that there may be that seriousness among society at large. And as they hear the message of the gospel, that it may strike a chord, that it may indeed draw them to want to know more and to seek and to find the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Lord, we pray for our brethren and sisters in other lands. And we thank thee that we can identify with so many and pray for them and support them. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka, our brother who oversees that work. Oh Lord, we pray that thou grant every needed blessing. Oh Lord, undertake for them. We think of the various pressures and difficulties that our brothers and sisters there have been called upon to go through. Oh Lord, sustain those who are in leadership in the church. Grant to them wisdom. Oh Lord, we pray that there may be a wonderful advance, great blessing, many called into thy kingdom. Oh Lord, we pray that the day may soon come when it will be possible again to visit, oh Lord, and to help and to encourage the brethren there. And oh Lord, do be with us now as we turn to thy word. We do so with glad hearts. Oh Lord, teach us from thy word, we pray, and help us to receive thy word gladly. May it find a resting place in our hearts. Help us to meditate upon it in the days to come. And oh Lord, may it be a blessing to each and every one. For we ask all these our prayers in the precious name of our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Before we turn to the Word of God, we'll have our third hymn, O Jesus Christ, grow thou in me. We're turning this evening to that psalm that we read for our scripture reading, Psalm 96. So sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. And even as I read those two opening verses, we have set before us the two themes that seem to run and be intertwined throughout this psalm. They are the themes, the twin themes of worship and evangelism, worship and the spreading of the gospel. And before we even begin to look at the psalm itself, let me just trace for you how it seems to switch from one to the other. In verse 1, it's worship. And into verse 2, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord, sing unto the Lord, bless his name. But then the switch seems to be thrown partway through verse 2. Show forth his salvation from day to day. And evangelism and the spreading of the gospel seems to come to the fore. Verse 3, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. And we have those two themes. But then we go back to worship in verse 4. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And then the superiority of the true and living God is set before us in verses 5 and 6. But by verse 7 down to verse 9, we're back to worship. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And then in verse 10, we're back to evangelism. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. And then from verse 11 onwards, we conclude with the whole of the created order joining that chorus of worship and adoration of the true and living God in anticipation of his coming. And of course, this is an Old Testament psalm. So from the perspective of the writer of the psalm, they were looking forward to the first coming. But strapped alongside that, it's also the second coming of the Saviour coming in judgment. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. And the great subject of their rejoicing is, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Have you ever seen one of those ropes or cables that's made up of strands of different colours? And they're so interwoven that as your eye moves along that cable, that rope, you see first one colour and then another seems to be predominant. And that seems to be what's going on in our psalm here. The twin themes of worship and evangelism. Well, that suggests a thought to me, which I think is immensely valuable. And it's simply this, that worship is evangelism. And evangelism is worship. They're not two distinct and unrelated themes. The fact that they are brought and intertwined in the psalm suggests strongly that they are related to one another. They go hand in hand with one another. And this is both a challenge and also an encouragement to us. Worship is evangelism. And there may be someone in the service tonight, and you have an unbelieving husband or wife. Unbelieving members of your family. Well, the great encouragement for us is this. Every time we go and take up our Bibles and have our time of private devotion, every time that we go to our knees in prayer before the Lord, that unconverted family member is being evangelized. They're being told something. Something is being imparted. The reality of spiritual experience, the reality of our walk with the true and living God. And though it may be that the relationship is such that you can't actually say anything, and indeed to speak openly or to try to bring a word of testimony to that loved one only breeds resentment and only proves difficult, yet we know that when we have those times of worship, there isn't that element of evangelism going on. Every time you leave the house, every time you go to that service, you're evangelizing that loved one. The seriousness, the reality of these things is being communicated. But then another, I think, a very precious thing. It isn't specifically mentioned here, but you are a good church in this respect. I love it when I go to churches and when you pray, at the end of the prayer, you hear an audible amen from the congregation. It's a signal. And there's an element of evangelism in this. There are unconverted people present, perhaps. And if the preacher prays his heart out, and at the end of the prayer, there's barely a whisper, nothing audible, well, what are we saying to those unconverted people? But if we are able to give our amen, a hearty amen to that prayer, we're telling those unconverted people, we fully endorse this. We go along with all the sentiments of that prayer. Well, these are small things, but they're so encouraging and helpful to us. Worship is evangelism. We're meeting here. And it may be that the entire community around this place is unaware. Cars may pass. People may walk by, unaware that a service of worship is going on here. But just as in those wonderful words given to us when the Saviour instituted the Lord's Supper, we are showing the Lord's death till he come. Our act of worship is an act of evangelism. It's we're proclaiming Christ. We're making him central to everything. And even if it's ignored, it's an act of testimony, an act of evangelism. And we should so love the stated times of worship in our homes, privately. Our collected, gathered worship should be so precious to us. We hear, don't we, of testimonies of those who on a summer evening, when the windows were open and the people of God were singing praise to Almighty God, someone was drawn in. Something about the singing, the earnestness with which they were singing, they were drawn in and eventually converted. We hear this from time to time. If worship is evangelism. Now that, of course, is not to promote the idea that we don't need to be specifically evangelistic in our teaching, in our preaching. We must be. We must seek to evangelize. We must preach the gospel and do so distinctively. But even when we are what we might say is just worshiping, there's that element of evangelism and proclaiming of the gospel going on. But secondly, evangelism is worship. To spread the gospel, we might say, is the highest form of worship. The thing which we want to speak about is the thing that is closest to our hearts. And if the love for the Saviour and the reality of what it means to be forgiven and a concern for lost souls, then if I am prepared to tell others of his love and what he did in suffering and dying upon the cross, Well, it's a part of my worship. It's an expression of my love to him, to tell others what he has done for me and to commend the Saviour to them. And if we can only take this on board, oh, how much easier it makes those hard and difficult things that sometimes we have to do. Do you have a Sunday school class and the children fidget and lack attention? And you wonder, however can I get across to them the message that I want them to understand? Well, I remember that I'm not only seeking to evangelize them, I'm doing this as an act of worship. I'm doing this directly for my Savior, and that gives me new courage and strength and help, because this is not my work, this is his work. And it's a work that he's promised to bless, and I'm given that help that I need. Or does the very idea of knocking on a door and speaking with someone, or speaking to somebody on the street and giving them a tract, or even a colleague at work, addressing them, speaking to them about spiritual things, does it fill you with fear? Of course, we're human. These are difficult things. To begin, to initiate a conversation can sometimes seem so hard. But when I begin to see that my testimony is part of my worship, oh, that makes it a whole lot easier. In doing this, I am acknowledging how much I love my Lord as I seek to tell others of his love. Well, let's come then to the psalm. I don't know how far we'll get through the psalm. I've broken it down into a number of sections, five sections, and the first section runs from verses 1 to 3, where I've simply titled it Worship and Evangelism. Let's look at it together and see some of the principles that we can draw from these opening verses. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people. And even that first word, that single letter, O, how important it is. There is so much to be gained here, and there is so much to be lost. And so the psalmist is inspired to add that, oh, it's an appeal, it's a tender appeal. It stops us short. It calls us to pay special attention to this. And there is so much to gain, and there is so much to lose. But look at it here. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Just focus for a moment on those words, sing unto the Lord. We see it three times here in these two verses. Oh, sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Sing unto the Lord. Three times, perhaps, because we can be so forgetful. But our worship is first and foremost unto the Lord, unto Jehovah. He is central to everything in our thinking when we come to worship. Sad to say that across the professing church these days, there is much that is man-centered. And there is the whole idea of the seeker-sensitive church and services that are tailored, that are adapted to be attractive to everything that is carnal, everything that is material, and to pamper human desires and aspirations. But no, the true worship of Almighty God is God-centered and God-focused. Sing unto the Lord. Oh, there are many blessings for us to enjoy. There are great joys as we enter into the worship of our God, and as we, in proportion as we make the Lord central to everything, those joys are increased. But if our focus is upon those joys, well, eventually those things will no longer please. We must sing and focus upon Jehovah, upon the Lord. And then, of course, it's inescapable, isn't it? Oh, sing unto the Lord. Three times here, sing, sing, sing. And how hard it has been over this past year. As the ability to join fervently in the sung worship has been to some extent denied to us. In our own church, with a large congregation, we dare not encourage people even to sing quietly, because it very quickly would escalate and become something that we would be difficult. But here you can join in a little. Oh, but it's not the same, is it? But there is something. We're told, aren't we, in the letter to the Ephesians, that we're to make melody in your hearts to the Lord. And maybe the Lord, in bringing us through this period where to sing with the fervour that we're accustomed to has been denied to us, it's to make us to see how important it is as an aspect of our Christian life and witness. And maybe when we can join heartily again in the sung worship, we'll do so as we really ought to. Sing, sing, sing unto the Lord. Take those words. You see, we've had to focus upon the words. When we sing, sometimes the melody can carry us along, and we get to the end of the hymn and we can scarcely remember what it was that passed our lips. But to focus upon the words, perhaps the Lord is telling us that sung worship must be fervent, it must be real. And then when we can, let's sing, sing, sing unto the Lord. But it's fascinating, isn't it, what we're told here, the command, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. And that's a very special term within the Bible, the new song. Six times within the Psalms itself, once in the prophecy of Isaiah, and twice the term new song is picked up in the book of Revelation. Now you check the references. Each and every time the new song is mentioned, it is in connection with and associated with the salvation of Almighty God. The new song that is of the Lamb that is worthy, that shed his blood so that we could be washed and cleansed and be given new life. And there we see, even in a section which seems to be about worship, the gospel is brought in. Because central, even to our sung worship, central to everything that we do in every aspect of our worship, is the salvation that God alone has procured in Jesus Christ. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. A song that focuses, that draws the mind into all that Christ has accomplished. But of course, we can take that in a very slightly different way. Sing unto the Lord a new song. A song that is new in kind. A different kind of song. And here again, there's a very important lesson that is much needed in our day and age. The songs that we sing, the hymns that we sing, are different from the world. They're not the world's songs. They're so very different. And again, it's sad to see and to reflect upon the practice of many, where the musical genres of the world are being imported into the church. And the song that is being sung is no longer the new song. It's merely a cleaned up version of the pop and rock culture that is just worldly and anti-God in its very structure and its ends and goals. Oh no. If we are to do justice to what we're called to do here, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, a distinctive song, a different song, so different from anything that we see in the world. And that's one of the reasons why so many of the older hymns seem to be helpful to us, because they are that distinctive, God-centered worship. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. And then we see here, sing unto the Lord all the earth. And again, in a section that is about worship, there's evangelism and help for us in the matter of the preaching of the gospel. You see, not only we as the Lord's people are called to sing unto the Lord, but each and every member of the human race is likewise called to praise Almighty God. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord. Just his people? No, no, no. All the earth. There is that duty, that obligation upon all mankind to sing the praise of Almighty God. Now, that's so helpful to us, because you see, in the way that mankind has been made, God has made us creatures of worship. We must worship something. That faculty of worship is designed and given to us so kindly by God, so that we can worship and we can praise him and exalt and lift up his name. But if we will not praise and worship him, that faculty will be expressed in some other way. And that's what we see in present day society. We see people who turn themselves inside out because they've got to feed that worshiping faculty, and they try all sorts of things, but they're empty and they're vain. The temples to sport, the temples to entertainment, if there weren't a lockdown, would be flooded with worshippers, even today. The temple to finance and so on, the temple to commercialism would be filled with worshippers today. And in terms of our evangelism, this is the starting point. This is one of the ways in which we can address people. We can begin to show them the futility of worshipping anything but the true and living God. We can show them how these things are vain, that they cannot really satisfy, and only in worshipping the Lord and taking seriously all that he has revealed will that faculty find its full and perfect expression. Well, that's helpful to us in our evangelism. It tells us that that can be a starting point. And we don't have to, as it were, go into all sorts of detail about apologetics. Is there a God? Can I prove that there is a God? No, no. Mankind is designed to worship God. And as we begin to touch upon that, well, that's a way that we can bring the gospel to bear. So verse 2, sing unto the Lord. Look at this term here. Bless his name. Proclaim his name. Extol him. Lift up his name. Bless his name. And how are we to do that? Well, that's where the transition comes, isn't it? Show forth his salvation from day to day. The way that we can most bless his name, exalt our God, is to proclaim and show forth his salvation. And here again, there's so much help. Show forth. It can mean to proclaim. It literally means to be fresh, to have something that is new and novel. And the idea here is that the salvation of Almighty God, there are many ways in which it can be presented, many different paths that can be taken, roots in, distinctive sins, unbelief, what it is to have faith, how to pray, the necessity of repentance, the actual sufferings and death of Christ upon the cross. And here we as the Lord's people in proclaiming the gospel are to be searching the scriptures, seeking how it is that we can take this message so simple, so wonderful, and we can find ways in which to address the people, show forth his salvation. And it's a revealed salvation. Nothing, no idea of my own, no imported ideas. No, we seek to draw everything regarding the salvation that is in Christ Jesus from the sole source, the Word of the living God. And that's where we look exclusively. Show forth his salvation. Even that word, show forth, it tells us, doesn't it? It reminds us of the great ignorance that there is among the people. So many people know nothing of the Christian faith. And if you go back a generation, even when more people understood a little, so much of it was misinformation, so much of it was a distortion of the reality. And so our great task is to show forth, to openly display, so that that ignorance can be dispelled. But show forth his salvation from day to day. It's inescapable that as believers, this is an ongoing duty. This is something that we have to take seriously. This is why every Lord's Day, one of the messages should be distinctively evangelistic, to seek to honour this principle expressed here and in other portions of Scripture too. This is a reason why, as individuals, we should seek day by day opportunity to tell others of what Christ has done for us. And as I look at this text, I'm convicted. Do I start every morning praying to the Lord that he'll give me an opportunity, an opening, and strength to take it, and that he'll be with me and bless my words to some lost and needy soul? It should be our aspiration, day by day, to show forth his salvation. And look in verse 3. Declare his glory among the heathen. This is wonderful, because I think in times past, people would have regarded that as people a long way away. But you know, the heathen are on our doorstep. There is so much ignorance in society today that all with whom we have contact, who have not bowed the knee to Jesus Christ, come under this umbrella term of the heathen. Declare his glory among the heathen. This is our great task. And you know, even if we do think internationally, or we're so privileged in this day and age, I don't know what you do with your live stream services, if they remain on the internet, but if they do, well, we can seek to honour that principle, because people from every country could come by chance, we might say, across that service and tune in and hear the message of the gospel. And so even though we physically ourselves can't go to other countries, we have means, and we can use those means in an expansive way to seek to reach even those whom we never meet, whom in this life we may never see, and only eternity will reveal, came to know the Lord through the ministry of the work here. But of course, we can also, and we must, support all endeavours to take the gospel to those places, to those lands, to those tribes who have never heard the message of Christ, that they too may hear and know the teaching of the Word of God. Declare His glory among the heathen. And in what is God most glorified? What is the capstone, as it were? Well, again, it's the salvation that He has wrought in Jesus Christ. It's a miracle. The gospel, salvation is a miracle. Humanly impossible. And even if I can say it, I hope reverently, even for Almighty God, it was a difficult thing to do, that He should have had to come and suffer and to die in our place. And therefore, that is why Christ is highly exalted and given a name which is above every name, because of the sufferings that He endured, that glory seen in the gospel. But look at it here, right at the end of verse 3. I think we're going to have to just content ourselves with this section of the psalm only. His wonders among all people. What does that mean? Well, this is God in providence. His glory among the heathen in salvation. His wonders among all people. Every individual who is saved is a wonder of grace and a mighty miracle. Oh, we live in a day of small things. If one person is saved, oh, how our hearts should sing for joy. If one person is saved, how we should rejoice, because salvation is of God. If it was of us, none would be saved. No human soul would turn. It's a wonder that any is saved. But you know, here we even come back again to the pandemic. His wonders. Yes, the wonder in the salvation of a soul. But in all the providences of individuals, of society at large, trace the hand of God and declare it. Oh, with this pandemic, we have a wonderful, a generational opportunity to try to interact with people and to persuade them that here, all mankind's optimism and their expectation that all would continue and up and up and up, and suddenly, with a touch, the lightest touch of His hand, by the mutation of a virus, all of the world was brought to a halt. All of mankind's plans were brought to nothing. That's a wonder. And in providence, as well as in salvation, we see these things and we call people to pay attention to those things. Well, time is out. I'll read the section again. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. In verses 4 to 6, there we see that the Lord Jehovah deserves our worship and deserves to be made known, and the futility of every alternative. In verses 7 to 9, we see that the reputation that God has in this world is dependent upon our worship and upon our efforts in evangelism. In verse 10, we see that He is sovereign. And the passage tells us that He is sovereign in creation. He is sovereign in salvation. He is sovereign in providence and sovereign in judgment. And the final section reminds us that alongside our evangelism, which is a ministry of reconciliation, there is at the same time a ministry of judgment. Every time we're rejected, it hurts. But we remember that Christ is returning as judge, and he will judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. Oh, let's be those who sincerely, earnestly worship our God with reverence, with awe, in a worthy manner, in the beauty of holiness, to take up the words of verse 9. Let's be those who see that worship and evangelism are linked. And let's do all we can to take that message far and near. And the Lord will bless. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we feel so unworthy. For we know that at times when we've come to worship, we haven't had that right spirit. Oh Lord, do bless us and help us to take these things seriously. Bless us too in the work of evangelism, the spreading of the gospel. We thank thee for this connection between these two great tasks of the Christian believer. Oh Lord, do bless us as individuals and as a church. May much be done to the praise and glory of thy grace, for we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. Our final hymn this evening is the hymn, Great is the Gospel of Our Glorious God. may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit be with each one of us now and for evermore. Amen.